And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The eternal life. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, The Yeleds of Yeled, was written by Alan Sergel.
This is the story of the remarkable land of Yeled. Remarkable because all of its inhabitants were, always had been, children. Boy children. As a matter of fact, that's what Yeled means. Boy child. What's that? How is it possible that the country persisted for generations when its inhabitants were always children? Boy children at that? Well, you see, you see how remarkable it is. It's even impossible to explain it. National anthem. They sang it on every possible occasion. And they sang it especially loudly on their Independence Day. Practically every land has an Independence Day, and the citizens of Yeled celebrated theirs on April the 1st. And it was on April the 1st that the remarkable thing that I'm telling about happened in the remarkable land of Yeled. They were celebrating the occasion before the sacred carousel in the sacred popcorn grove, and they were, of course, singing their sacred anthem.
Try again.
Not I, King Nar.
But it was he, the last one, the one with the bass voice. But as you can imagine, the celebration was thrown into an uproar.
Who was that?
Were canceled instantly. The celebration was adjourned, and the angry crowd dragged the culprit to trial in the royal nursery before King Nar himself, who presided for this special occasion on the golden high chair, and his gavel was the sovereign cereal spoon.
Have the prisoner step forward.
Yes, King Nar.
Prisoner, how do you call yourself? My name is Ehud.
Very good name for you. Ehud means one, and you're certainly that. But why is it you do not have a good Yelid name like mine? Nar means youth, you know.
It also means fool.
Well, Ehud, what do you have to say?
I say, long live King Nar, and may Yelid prosper.
Never mind the nonsense. What do you have to say for yourself?
For myself.
About your voice.
My voice?
Stop repeating my questions. How do you explain your deep bass voice among all our sweet sopranos?
I cannot answer for my voice, sire, but I can speak for my heart, and that shall always be at your service and at the service of Yelid.
We are not interested in your heart. That is for your physician to worry about. It is your voice that concerns us. It is different from ours.
Different only in timbre, sire, but similar, always the same, in the glories it will utter to your name.
Please stop evading the issue. Your voice is something new to us. You know the first line of our Bill of Rights?
Yes, I do. Let each new thing be cursed.
Yes! Let each new thing be cursed! Yeah.
Unity in similarity.
And a very good motto, too. I don't know exactly what it means, but a very good motto.
Then your ruling is...
What my ruling has to be. Your voice is different, so you are different. And if you are different, you are no son of Yelid.
Yelid for the Yelid!
Yelid for the Yelid!
You hear that, Ehud? Yelid for the Yelid!
And Ehud?
Ehud for the prison tower.
So they took Ehud into custody and prepared to send him to the tower. But first, they confiscated all of his precious Yelid possessions. A sad moment for Ehud.
Three put-and-take spinning tops.
Oh, they've been in my family for years.
Four pieces of halva.
My favorite candy.
And what's this?
Oh, no. Please don't take that. Not that. It's my most treasured possession. Oh, please don't take it from me.
But of course I'll take it from you. I've always wanted one of these. It'll make me one of the richest Yellers in Yellers. Why, this is the greatest moment in my life.
Oh, my poor, precious yo-yo.
Well, Ehud, this is your cell block. How do you like it?
Well, not very well. Oh, golly. That first cell is frightful. Is that to be mine?
Oh, no. You are guilty of having a deep voice. The Yelid in that cell is guilty of murdering his brother.
Well, thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness it's not my cell. Not thank goodness he murdered his brother. Oh, gosh. Well, this cell is even worse than the other. Is this to be mine?
Oh, no. Your crime is your voice. That Yelid's crime was murdering his brother and two cousins.
Oh.
This is your cell.
Oh, thanks. Oh. But this cell is much, much worse than either of the other two.
I know. Oh, but remember, their crime was only murder. Your crime is being different.
Oh, please, please stop that whistling.
What?
I'm sorry, but your whistling's bothering me. It's bad enough that two of us in this miserable cell without one of us continually chirping.
But I like the whistle.
Oh, so do I, but not here. What's there to whistle about here?
You mean you don't like it here?
You mean you do?
I love it.
Love it?
Wouldn't be anywhere else.
Oh. Who are you?
I tried to introduce myself before. My name is Oaf.
Oaf? But that means bird.
That's right. They call me the Mad Bird. So you see, it's quite proper for me to, as you say, chirp.
But Oaf, that's not a Yelid name. None of the names in Yelid have anything to do with nature.
Perhaps that is because nature has not yet had anything to do with Yelid.
Oh. Say, you're very strange.
That's what they said when they put me here.
And you weren't ashamed?
Ashamed?
Of being strange. I know I am. I'm so ashamed that sometimes I think it's better they put me here rather than face my friends.
Have you ever thought that your friends would also have to face you?
What are you trying to say?
I am trying to say that your imprisonment can be a great blessing.
Well, will it make my voice return to its old soprano?
I can't promise that.
Oh.
But I can promise that you can be happier than you ever were with your old voice.
You can? How? Tell me how. Please tell me.
I can't tell you. You must find it out for yourself.
Oh, it's a secret?
Perhaps. But a secret everyone can learn.
Then tell me how to learn it.
Very well. In a month's time, if you behave yourself, they will allow you to spend your days and nights in the fields outside, won't they?
Yes. Well, what else?
Nothing else. I have told you.
Why, you have told me nothing.
I have told you everything.
And true enough, after a month, Echad was allowed the freedom of the nearby fields. For 6 days, he sought madly in nature for the secret Ulf was talking about. But he discovered nothing. Nothing that made him happy. And on the eve of the seventh day, as the stars were beginning to appear, he looked toward heaven with despair. And then...
Ulf! Ulf! I have discovered something! Ulf! Where are you? Ulf?
Yes, Echad?
Oh, I've been looking all over for you. I have discovered something. I have discovered the stars.
What about the stars, Echad?
I have discovered that they are like us. Like you and me.
That they are different?
Yes. Every one of them. I thought they were all the same, but they're not. They are all different. Different sizes. They shine with different lights. Oh, is that the secret?
That is part of it, Echad.
Only part of it?
There is more.
So Echad returned to the fields. For 6 more days, he sought the secret of nature. And on the eve of the seventh day...
Oh, I have discovered the seeds.
They too are different?
Every one of them. Different sizes, different shapes. Oh, is that the secret?
There is more.
Echad returned again to nature. He discovered the grass. He discovered the birds. He discovered the corn. And each time he ran to Ulf with his discoveries. And each time Ulf replied,
there is more.
Until Echad grew melancholy and his discoveries lay in a disordered heap on his heart. And then, on the seventh day of the seventh week...
Ulf, I have discovered everything.
Everything?
Everything. You were right. There was more. For not only is everything different, but everything, everyone, has to be different. It's God's plan.
You have discovered the secret, Echad.
There is harmony in difference, beauty, greatness. Ulf, there is unity in diversity.
You are no longer a yellow, Echad. You are a man.
But you have known this all along, Ulf. How is it you have never told it? How is it you have not shouted it from every window in Yelid?
It is enough that we know it, Echad. We who discovered it for ourselves.
Oh, no, it's not enough. We must proclaim it to everyone.
And leave the tower where we have found our happiness?
Yes, leave the tower. Oh, no. Oh, fine chance I have of doing that. Me with my bass voice.
It is better this way, Echad. Let each man learn the secret for himself.
Oh, if only I could be free.
If only I weren't a bass.
What did you say?
I said if only I weren't a... Ulf, I'm a soprano again. Well, what do you say, King Nar?
Please don't rush me, guard. After all, you must admit this is very unusual.
It was unusual, Your Majesty. But now it has become quite usual again. Echad is a soprano once more. He has become one of us again. He at least deserves a hearing from you.
He does?
Remember the first line of our Bill of Rights?
Let each new thing be cursed?
Well, that's right. And since Echad has his old voice back, the curse ought to be removed.
Sounds logical.
It is logical. Eckhart is again the same as we are. And you remember our motto, of course.
Of course. How does it go again?
Unity in similarity.
Oh, yes. Unity in similarity. And a most excellent motto it is. I do wish I knew what that meant.
And I am pleading his case, though I have much more to lose than you.
You have?
Why, yes, Your Majesty. If Eckhart is released, I will have to return his yo-yo to him. But I've grown so fond of him in these 2 months. He's been so kind and patient that I am even willing to make that sacrifice in his behalf.
You are? You will? Then what am I waiting for? If you are ready to jeopardize your yo-yo, the least I can do is sacrifice my dignity. Bring him around. So your good old yelled voice has returned, eh, Eckhart?
Yes, Your Majesty. And I want to thank you for granting me this audience.
Tut-tut, son. It is no more than you deserve. You are one of us again. No longer different. Can't tolerate differences in Yelled, you know. And how does it feel to be out of the tower?
Oh, it feels wonderful, Your Majesty.
I know what you mean. Well, I can see no reason for holding you anymore, so I now pronounce you a...
What is it, Your Majesty?
Those things on your face.
What things?
Those little golden specks. What are they?
I have no golden specks. Oh my. Those must be freckles.
Freckles?
From the sun.
But no one in Yelled has freckles. Eckhart, you are different again. Guard, take him back to the tower.
So Eckhart went back to the tower. And for 7 more weeks, he prayed and planned, and again on the 7th day of the 7th week, his freckles disappeared. Once more, Eckhart was brought before King Nar, to the great high chair in the great golden nursery.
Well, I see your voice is the same sweet soprano.
Yes, Your Majesty. I've been awake all night praying that it would remain so.
And the golden specks have left your face.
Yes, Your Majesty. I have prayed that they would not return.
Therefore, I see no cause why I shouldn't pronounce you a...
What is it this time?
You are yawning.
But surely that is allowed in Yelled?
It isn't. It isn't that. It is what your yawn reveals.
What?
You have grown a wisdom tooth. Back to the tower.
So, back to the tower it was. Again Eckhart prayed. Again his deformity disappeared. And again he appeared before King Nar. This time, the king could find nothing wrong. The royal Yelled tone specialist listened to Eckhart's voice and said,
Perfect Yelled timber.
The royal Yelled goldsmith examined him and said,
The gold has completely disappeared from his face.
And the royal Yelled wise man said,
The wisdom is entirely gone from his teeth.
So, since there was nothing to interfere with Eckhart's freedom now, King Nar rose, drew himself up to his full height, and proclaimed,
I now pronounce you a...
Free man.
What did you say?
I said I now pronounce you a... My goodness, my voice has changed.
Yes, poor King Nar's voice had changed. So, of course, there was nothing to do but throw him into the tower for being different. Which they did. And so the Yelleds of Yelled set about to seek a new king. The vice premier in charge of the next eldest brother immediately called up his charge.
Hello, Gogo? This is your guardian. Something dreadful has happened to your brother. Will you be our new king?
Why, of course. I would be delighted. Oh, gosh. My boy.
So, instead of being given the throne, Godol was given the tower. Strange and dreadful things were happening in the land of Yelled. Now, take the case of the premier who was next in succession for the throne. Well, he was so anxious for the job that he waited all day in the hot sun for the courier to bring him the good news. But when the courier got there, he took one look at the premier and cried,
Horrors! Freckles!
So the premier was sent to the tower. And the next in line, the vice premier in charge of the premier? Well, he was so eager for the honor that he didn't wait for a train, but rather walked the entire distance from his home in the country. When he arrived at the palace, he had a great corn on his foot, and he was limping. So, naturally, they threw him into the tower. I mean the dungeon. The tower was too crowded. But as though it wasn't enough that the Yeleds of Yeled couldn't find the king, a new and greater blight appeared in the land. The people themselves began changing.
Cousin, this chair is uncomfortable. Will you give me the one I generally use?
That is the chair you generally use. Why, cousin, you've grown.
And so it continued. Changes came and people went to the dungeon. I mean the pit. The dungeon was too crowded. But then, another and even more terrible thing began to happen. Citizens of the land, afraid that their own changes would be reported, began reporting changes in others first, until the population of Yeled grew to be one large police force. It became impossible to trust anybody. A friend would approach a friend, regard him closely, and exclaim, "Ha! A freckle!" Another would steal up to his sleeping brother, peer into his mouth, and cry, "Look! A second molar!" Until finally, in all of Yeled, there was no one left outside of prison except...
Eckhart, guard.
Yes, Eckhart and his faithful guard were the only two people in all the land who would remain pure, 100% Yeleds. Which, of course, also solved another problem.
As sole remaining officer of the crown, I name you, Eckhart, to be king of Yeled.
As king of Yeled, I name you, guard, to be my premier.
As the new ruler of Yeled, what will be your first act, King Eckhart?
My first act, Premier Guard, will be to change one little word in the Bill of Rights.
But you can't do that. This is Yeled. There can be no change. Change is unconstitutional.
Premier Guard, what is the most important position in all of Yeled?
Why, the position of king, of course.
And hasn't that been changed?
Well, yes.
And after that important change, can you see any harm in changing just one little word in our Bill of Rights?
Well, maybe not. Mm. But remember, only one little word.
Right. Only one little word.
And what will that word be?
Read me the first line of our Bill of Rights again, please.
Very well. Let each new thing be cursed.
Good, good. Now change the word cursed to blessed and read it back to me.
Let each new thing be blessed.
There. Uh-huh. Now, was that much of a change?
No. Only one letter more in the new version.
And one letter less if we use the old English spelling. Now, with that new line, we need a new song, don't we? It says so in our Constitution.
Wow.
And to get a new song, we will have to release the royal songwriter. Now, won't we?
Well, not Mechaber.
Well, he's the royal songwriter, isn't he?
But his case is one of the worst of all. His hair has turned curly.
Remember the Constitution, guard. It says we must have a new song.
Oh, very well. Then we will release Mechaber.
And you can't have a song without singers, can you?
I suppose not.
Then we will have to release the royal quartet.
But you...
The Constitution Guard.
Very well.
And we can't expect singers to perform without an audience. So naturally, we will have to release all music lovers. And, oh yes.
What now?
Since we have changed the first line of our Bill of Rights, naturally, we will have to change our motto.
Change our motto? To what?
Well, how does it read now?
Unity and similarity.
Uh-huh. Well, we will change it to... Unity in diversity.
No. No, that's where I draw the line. I'll stand for every other change you've suggested, but I can't go along with that one. Unity in diversity. Well, do you realize that with that motto we'd have to release every prisoner and yell it?
That is my intention.
Your intention? But what about their changes, the Constitution?
The people of Yell It haven't changed. God, they've grown. Why, wisdom, teeth, greater height, deep voices, these are all signs of growth. God is smiling on us, and we have accepted his smile as a frown.
But what about the other changes? Freckles and curly hair. Everybody will be different.
More of God's work. I learned that in prison, guard. There is strength in difference. There is difference in nature. The corn is different from the cotton. But do we say that one is better than the other? No two trees in a forest are the same. No two leaves on a single tree. Yet all of them are similar in that they all contribute something to the world. So it is with people. God made them different, and he intends for them all to contribute, to prosper within those differences. And so it shall be with the people of Yeled.
I'm sorry. I never quite saw it that way before.
Well, cheer up, guard. There's nothing to be sorry about. This is a time for a celebration. Release all the innocents from prison.
Yell it, we'll celebrate its new independence. Have you forgotten, Guard? Unity in diversity.
Eternal Life story today, The Yelleds of Yelled, was written by Alan Sergel. Featured in today's broadcast were Norman Rose, Juano Hernandez, Michael Artist, and Sarah Fussell. Music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel, and the entire production was under the direction of Walter McGraw. Time has been given by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations to present this program in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.